Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to the PRF table, I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also hosting is Sister Adia Sanders. And as I said, if you've been following us on our Facebook page, Possessions, Resources, and Finances, we do have a special person that's going to be on the line with us today. So I'll bring that person on in a minute. But Sister Sanders, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing good. I cannot complain. Glad to be on the call and looking forward to a great show.
I'm looking forward to it, too, and I think we're going to have a really, really good show tonight. It may be 30, 35 minutes for tonight's show, and as everybody always has heard me say before, we go as long as God really tells us to go, but today I think we're going to probably be done in about 35 minutes, so I think that's going to be all right tonight. Tonight's show is called Church and Financial Responsibility, and really what we're doing is continuing our dialogue from last week because we dealt with church stewardship last week, and tonight what we're really going to be doing is focusing on, you know, what are our actions? What are the things that we're supposed to be doing? What are the things that we're required to do as church members and as ministers and pastors as it pertains to financial responsibility in the church? You know, I have this question, Adia. Is it really about control or is it about management? Or should I say, is it really about management and stewardship, or is it about control? Who can control the purse strings? Who can control what comes in and what goes out? And then also, you know, what do people inside of the church and what do people outside the church see from our congregation? So I just want us to be able to explore that, and I have the pleasure of, I won't say introducing, but reintegrating back to the PRA table, Brother Warren Feaster. How you doing, my man?
I am doing great, and I think there's a delay, so this is going to be very interesting. I'm excited that I'm able to come back to the table. Time has permitted that it looks like every other, well, Friday morning for me, I'll be able to be on the show. So I am excited to get back into this, and I'm ready. Y'all been dealing with my subject without me, so I feel like I'm being cheated.
Oh, my goodness. Well, look, we know time is limited, so we're just going to get into it. And, Adia, I know we left off on a couple of notes last week, so did you have anything that you wanted to bring as far as a recap or anything? Because you had talked about credibility, and I had a couple comments that I wanted to say on it, but did you have anything that you wanted to bring before we just get down into it tonight?
No, I think... I think I'm just probably ready to get into the show because last week was really good. And, well, you know what? I'm going to take that back.
Go ahead.
I think in light of everything that has been going on, that we've all heard in the news media, and I'm not focusing on that, I think that the topics, some of the key words or characteristics that we described on last Thursday that came from last week's show, talking about accountability, credibility, transparency. Those are characteristics that we all need, and some, you know, we can always act. Everybody can always work on them even more to hone in on those characteristics and those attributes that make us who we are or make us better people. And so I would just like to say that if not so more than ever, we definitely need transparency, we need credibility, we need accountability, we need honesty, we need candidness, because where we are in our society, a lot of people, I don't know if they live in bubbles or don't ever go out the house or look at the news or read a newspaper or just listen to people's conversation, even if they eavesdropping. We have to definitely know that we still got a lot of work to do. And one of the good things that I like is that I like about God is that a lot of people say I'm a work in progress, but I take that means something to me because it means that we never get to a point to where we arrive. And so where we may not be as candid today, it's another opportunity to do better the next day or the next year. And so there are a lot of issues that are going on in our culture, in our society, in our country, and it's another opportunity for us to do better next time. It's another opportunity for us to live, to hold true to our values, to our Christian values and beliefs, our worldviews, and to step up to the plate. And I think those attributes that we talked about on last week definitely have a lot of bearing on our personal lives and how we relate to other people in our communities and definitely in the church, because if we're not talking about certain topics, if we're not talking about how we steward the church, then we are doing ourselves and the body of Christ a disservice. So that's where I am today.
I totally agree. And I think to add to what you were saying from last week's show, which I think is relevant, one of the things that we ended last week's show talking from Titus chapter 1, and in Titus chapter 1, particularly in verse 7, it said an elder or an overseer or a bishop is a manager of God's household, so they must live a blameless life. So we knew just from that scripture, from what Paul was talking to Titus, which he also said similar to Timothy, that whoever is the pastor or the overseer or the elder or the bishop over that house, they have the responsibility of managing God's household, meaning being steward over God's household. And let me tell you something that happened recently. I was teaching a class and I read something from a book that what I read was the first line in this editorial I got offline that said, pastors are over the tithes and offerings that come into the congregation.
I like that.
And it was really an amazing type of situation to be in, listening to the different rationales that people had. I'm talking about church folk. I'm talking about men and women of God regarding that piece of the pastor is the steward over it. And after talking for a few minutes, probably about 5 or 10 minutes, I think everybody kind of got the picture that the pastor is the one who is overall responsible for everything that goes on inside that congregation, good, bad, or indifferent. So one of the things that I discovered in teaching, in this teaching session, was this. There's a lot of hurt that is going on in a lot of churches regarding stewardship and finances, whether it be from the pastors, whether it be from those in the finance room, and we have to be willing to deal with that type of thing. Since Brother Feast is on the line, I'll go from something he used to say all the time. He's saying that I used to say it all the time. You got to have courage enough to care. So adding to that, you have to have courage enough to be able to speak up for what's going on. Not saying that everybody has to be involved in the finances of the church, but as far as how that church maintained, we have to all be involved. We have to all have some type of responsibility towards how are resources being used in the church or not being used. You know what I'm saying? So
yes, definitely.
What's
funny?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, you even just mentioning that, the church that I've been attending since I've been here in Kansas is actually up in Kansas City, Missouri. And so Sunday, they had a business meeting with all of the members because they wanted to let them know, here's what's going on, here's how we're doing. And one of the topics was finances. And they said, you know, we want to make sure, because we have two services, they said we want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to see and hear what's going on, to see, you know, what we're doing with the money, and the different things that we're doing in the community, and that was amazing to me. You know, not amazing in a sense like, oh my gosh, I can't, they do stuff like this, but to know that is a part of the pastor's heart, is to make sure that the members know what's going on with the business part of the church, And I don't know, I know we talked about this several months ago. Do the members need to know? I think
mm-hmm.
it's up to that leader and to and where God is taking them. You know what I'm saying? And so I can't say yes or no, but to know where the leader is taking you means a lot. And, I guess being in the military, sometimes you don't know what's going on. But what I've learned here at CGSC is that letting your soldiers know, and if we turn that to letting your congregation know what's going on, people will want to follow you. They will follow you to the ends of the earth because they know that you believe in what you're doing, so much so that you brought them in, and they have, and that they're valued, and that they know what's going on. And people, they actually have things that they could bring to the table. So I just wanted to say that, and I really thought that was good. I've seen it before, but I just wanted to definitely reiterate that again.
Well, Brother Feaster, go ahead, my brother. You know, we can't go too long without not allowing you to say something, especially being gone for about a couple of weeks.
Y'all have to bear with me. I'm having some maintenance man in my apartment, and where I'm calling you from, the call may drop, and there is a delay. But we ain't going to let any of that hinder us from what we're about to do. I'm sitting here and I'm listening, and JR, when you said something, I almost hit the roof because you said that, and if I heard you correctly, I missed all this noise, you said something to the extent of that pastors are responsible for the tithe. And I found that profound because that is the first time I've ever heard that.
Me too.
And it's a true statement. And I really wonder, do we, and I know I'm using we, bear with me, JR, do we have an understanding of that? I've been in too many places, under too many places, too many people, a couple of churches where what the pastors say we're going to do, and there's no checks and balances. I mean, we all know that pastor is not God. And when we put him in a God-like position, we're setting ourselves up for some serious issues, for some serious troubles down the line. It's been proven over and over again when you give man all that responsibility, you give him, eventually, we're going to take advantage of it. We're going to take it, and we're going to use it to our pleasure. So if we as a congregation don't understand that we are holding, correction, that the pastor is held accountable for that, and if the pastor don't understand that he is held accountable for that, then what we're doing is we're just literally just, you know, we're throwing money away. We're throwing money away because there's no checks and balances. Nobody's holding anybody accountable. And I don't know about you, but early on in the Bible, God establishes authority. He establishes a position. He establishes, you know, responsibility and accountability. If you do this, this is going to happen. I just finished reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it's a whole entire chapter of if you do this, this is going to happen. However, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. So my question is, as I stirred the pot my first time back in quite a while, my question is, how do we feel like we are not going to hold the pastor accountable for his actions? And as we're talking about money, you know, the financial part of the church. I mean, I think we're putting ourselves in a disjustice and doing God a disservice, not holding him accountable. And I'm going to stop right there because I done stirred up the pot a good bit just off the break.
Yeah, you did. And this is why I say, why are we automatically going to? Now, think about it. Adia, you said, I never thought about it like that. Brother Fisa, you was like, you know what, I never heard that. So we're just today on the PRF table, right? And this is not something, what I said, which is not something that I made up. I got it offline as I was reading an article. That's something that's not constantly said throughout the church. So how can we really put that on the pastor if it's not something that everybody is thinking about? I think the mindset that a lot of churches actually have is that they're the ones who control. Whoever's in that finance room controls the finances.
Oh, my God.
I heard. Huh? And I don't think that is. I think it's a backward type of theology. The pastor has overall responsibility for the conditions of the church. Again, we're talking about stewardship. So if the let's go to Matthew 7:15 through 20. But I think in verse 20 it says, "You shall know a tree by the fruit that it bears." So if I pull up to your church, Brother Feaster, and your church is raggedy, you got weeds 4 feet high, and yet you're talking about come on in and praise the Lord, that's a reflection of you as the pastor. So however that condition of that church house is, one, whatever the condition of the people is, two, is a reflection of that pastor. So when it comes to dealing with finances, at least from my perspective, when it comes to dealing with finances, I think we just have to talk and try to get people to understand you're not the one that control it, bruh.
Mm.
Just because you work in the finance room. You're not the one that is in control of it just because you're the administrative pastor and you have oversight. You have a stewardship responsibility because the one who ultimately has the stewardship responsibility is that pastor. If some money is not there, they can look at me all day long as administrative or executive pastor and say, "Reverend Dunlap messed up money." Go ahead, bro.
So my question is, if we, and this is, man, I'm sorry, bear with me. This is the problem. We see this and have no problem with this at work and at home and in businesses. But when we get to the church, it's like, I'm just going to come out and say it because I just went off last night about this. I'm tired of us getting to the church and thinking any and everything can just happen, and we allow any and everything to happen. You know, we go to work tired, and we're faithful stewards of what we're being paid for, but yet we get to church and we're tired, and all of a sudden now we're only giving God or that ministry half of what, you know, we would do at work. It never was time in for it, but since it's in, it's time out for it. You know, we're giving half ourselves to what we consider or what we believe or what we're saying that is God's ministry that he's given in us. But yet we'll go to work tired, hungover, drunk, stayed up all night watching the game. You know, we'll go to work and still put in a full day's worth of work. But let that same thing happen, same situation that kept you up all night happen, and then you go get a call from sister, I need your help, and all of a sudden, well, you know, it's time out for stuff like that. We need to look at things the way it is. There's accountability. There's a responsibility in the church, just like it is in everywhere else. You know what? You're right. We have not thought about the pastor being held accountable for the tithes in the church, and it's our fault individually and collectively. You know, but you know what? Since you put it out in the airways, now it's time to do something about it. And it could be just as simple as making an acknowledgement. We got to start somewhere.
But that's not what I'm really saying. I'm not talking about the pastor being held accountable. That's not the vantage that I'm coming at. I'm coming at it from the vantage point of the pastor has overall responsibility, and he is that ultimate steward over what's going on regarding possessions, resources, and finances with the church. I'm not saying it as if the pastor's doing something wrong.
So we're
wrong.
Saying the same thing. We're just using two totally different words.
No, we ain't. We saying different things. I'm glad
you're
on the show
tonight.
No,
we're saying the same thing. We're just using two different words.
I'm gonna let you have that one only because it's your first time being on the show in a while. But because I'm speaking at it from
don't go easy on me now. You ain't been easy on me ever before.
Oh no, I'm not. I'm gonna just be nice about it. I want our brothers and our sisters who are in congregations to be able to understand that the pastor's overall responsibility. Remember, we talked about God's ownership plenty of times. So there's this my mentality that I've seen in church as if they're the ones who run stuff, members, and that's not the case. So if they can't, we got to get people to help them to understand what leadership is. And to be honest with you, I told somebody this the other day who was going to preach before a congregation. I said, we as the members, bro, don't have nothing to do with how that message comes out. That's between you and God. It's not my way. It's God's way. So God is the one that is supposed to be directing whoever that is, that pastor, of how things need to be allocated, how things need to be managed. Not my job. If I'm brought into the fold as a member with you, Pastor Feaster, then I have some say-so. If I'm bringing board into that meeting, that business meeting, Sister Dia, then I have some say-so. But the overall responsibility is on that pastor. So I got to let a pastor be a pastor. That's, for me, one of the biggest problems. Let a doggone pastor be a pastor. If you don't trust a pastor to manage the finances in the church, then you don't need to be coming and listening to the message every Sunday. You don't need to call him when something goes wrong in your family. And you sure as hell don't need to be going to the church asking for money up under his leadership. And go ahead, Adia, I'm done.
So where do you think this is coming from? Because I guess that's my question, and I don't want to assume, because what I was going to say, this may not be going on in a lot of churches, but I have seen it firsthand. I know we look at churches sometimes twofold as the business part of it, where, you know, when you're dealing with money and you still have regulations and guidelines to abide by and different things like that. So I totally understand that. But where do you think that mindset and behavior, because that's exactly what it is, where do you think that's coming from to where people think that they run something? And that's just something that I think maybe I thought about it previously, but where does that come from? If somebody has planted that seed, or maybe is it because that they have a position that they, you know, because of the position that they serve in, maybe that's kind of where that mindset and behavior comes from, that as far as, like, the order of stuff?
I think a lot of it stems from a lack of understanding leadership. I think a lot of it stems from tradition. I can say in some churches, Brother Feaster, you mentioned something about deacons. Deacons ran the Baptist church years and years ago. So if deacons were the ones who were running the church because the preacher, the pastor, was pastoring 3 and 4 churches and not there all the time and not there during the week, and the deacons were the ones who were taking care of things, there's a lot of that mentality that is still present and prevalent in a lot of our churches. I live in the South, and I can tell you it is rampant down in the South. Rampant. But that mindset is still there. I'm not faulting it either, Adia. I'm not. I just recognize it for what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm understanding that, guess what? Everybody doesn't have that same mentality. Everybody doesn't have that same mentality. So for me, you, Brother Feaster, somebody who some folk will call progressive, it's not progressive. We just got minds. God's given us minds and given us intellect and given us the word. We can read things for ourselves and see, that's not how the way it's supposed to be operating, so why is it? And we're inquisitive. We ask questions. And sometimes there's not good answers that actually come back from it. Another point I could say, a reason for your question or to your question, is because of hurt. If a church, if a congregation has been hurt by leadership regarding finances, they are more likely not to trust. And when they don't trust, they like to keep things for themselves.
Oh, wow. And you know what?
And again, it's not their stuff anyway. You see what I'm saying? It's not their money.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, two things. I was just talking to this lady on Tuesday, and I was sharing with her one of my devotions that I was reading about waiting on God. And it was talking about trust. And I think a lot of times, and I was on a talk show on Sirius XM, and I was talking about the Catholic Church. And that has nothing to do with this, but the point that I was bringing up was that I think that for a lot of different reasons, which doesn't justify or excuse, I think that at some point in time that we have forgotten that we are not in control of anything. Everything
That's
that right. we have has been loaned to us. The position that we have in church is not ours. We should be thankful that God saw fit for somebody to see the little potential and ability that we have to do the jobs that we do in our churches or work in a different ministry, but they're not ours, and we are territorial. People in churches are territorial over positions. They act like it's theirs, like they created it, and that it can't function without them, and they're so possessive that I think the point is missed that it's supposed to be ministry. And they treat it
That's
as
right.
if it's theirs, as if it's like it's at, like it belongs in their house. That may be how you run your house, but that's not how you run the house of God. And I think that, you know, I was also saying that I think that there are different levels of, definitely different levels in our walk of faith. But at the same time, we gotta do the training. When Jesus, oh my God, this is about to blow my mind because it just hit me, just downloaded in my little brain. But you look at the 3.5 years that Jesus had disciples, they were being discipled for the ministry that they were going to go into. And when they graduated from disciple school for 3.5 years, and we want to do it after 6 weeks sometime, I'm going to say amen by myself, they were apostles. They were apostles. And they discipled and they trained other people. So you have your Simons and your Pauls and your Timothys and all of these people, but they had to go through training. And I think a lot of times we don't want to go through the training because we live in the 21st century where you can go online and print out a certificate to say that you are a bona fide deacon, a bona fide missionary, a bona fide head usher, or minister of music, but sometimes people don't want to be trained, so they can't receive anything. But at some point, that leader has got to say, hold on, or somebody that recognizes what's going on has got to say, Pastor, we have an issue. And I'm going to stop right there.
Go ahead, bro.
So let me jump on this horse that we're riding. And yeah, I just want to say this because, man, I'm all excited. I hate the fact I got to leave here in a little bit, but I'm all excited because, you know, ain't nothing changing, you know. But anyway, I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying, Adia, and JR, I'm glad you answered the question the way that you did, and I'm glad you answered the question because I probably would have been a little more abrupt and direct in my answer to Adia's question. So you did a great job of saying very, and I don't mean this as an insult at all, but very PR and civil, because that's not how I would answer the question. So I'm glad you took that answer. Adia, you said something that I had just went off about last night after I left choir rehearsal. So I'm going to say this, and if anybody from the choir is listening, I speak my mind, I love you, and I ain't going to take nothing I'm saying back. But we're doing a great job of singing songs. We're doing a great job of learning songs. We're doing a great job of being a choir. But we're doing a very poor job of being ministry. Hmm. And I was telling my brother last night, imagine, I said, think about what's going on right now. Right now, we're following behind some leaders who I believe are not fully listening or following the word of God or the leading of God. And if we, in my belief, are heading in this direction and doing good things without following God's direction, just imagine what happens when we actually begin to follow him. Now, let's bring that to the topic at hand. So right now, and this is going to sound a little controversial, and you know me, I'm fine with that. Right now, we are coming into the knowledge of understanding stewardship when it comes to tithing and churches' finance and who's held Is it responsible that you're using JR? Because I'm saying accountable. But now that we're coming to that knowledge, think about what we did before we knew this, and now where we can go knowing this. So I really believe that once we and JR, you said something in your answer about a lack of teaching, a lack of education, or not knowing. Again, look at what we've done with a little information. Now imagine what we can do with more information. And that's why I'm excited about what we're talking about tonight. Because as we look at this and as we peel this onion back and as we open this up, we begin to see the layers that God has allowed us to come into. And once we get into those layers, we're held accountable for what we know. The other thing I'm excited about is we are understanding that there's more to worship and stewardship than raising of a hand, than singing a note, but there's worship and stewardship in your financial giving. And if we understand that God, what it means when the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, not just somebody that's smiling, you know, but holding that dollar tight and throwing it in the bucket or the whatever it is that they take up the offering with, and then we just imagine how much further we can go when we grow, and that's what I'm excited about. So I mean, I'm gonna end on that note because I actually have somewhere to go and be somewhere in a little bit. I'm glad I was able to come back on y'all know my passionate subject. I just wish I had more time so I could actually deal with it a little more. But I'm excited because now that we know, we can grow. God bless you. Love y'all. I will be back. I'm going to hold on for a little while, so if y'all say something, I'm still listening.
Leave it up to Brother Feaster to take a subject of stewardship and hit pretty much all 9 of the other lessons of PRF. Only brother that can do that is Brother Feaster. I can't even do it, and God gave me the program. So, my brother, we really appreciate you taking the time, and I think this is what we're going to do because we're family. We know that you're dealing with a 14-hour time difference, so what we may do is just do some shows over the weekend when we all have off, and we'll just do them early in the morning, which will be in your evening time, and then have more shows available so that people can continue to hear you because, you know, the three of us that do this show together, it is definitely a loss when there's only 2 of us here, or let alone when there's only 1 of us here. So we want people to continue to be blessed by what God's given all 3 of us in this unity that we have. So go ahead and handle your business, brother. Keep serving, and we'll get with you on the next go-round in hopefully 2 weeks or less. Well, Sister D, I know that you had to get ready to get out as well. So did you have any other final comments?
No, I do. Just encourage everybody to keep praying and be that voice. You know, I believe in prayer. I know prayer works, but we also have a mouth so that we can speak to one another. So when we see things that we can influence and make better, let's do that. Let's not just always stay on our knees. Let's get the direction from God and also know that He's empowered us and given us the ability and capacity to influence and fix things. So if there's something that can be changed or tweaked to make it better because it impacts the kingdom of God, let's do the right thing and lift up the name of Jesus and do what we need to do and not always wait for somebody else to do it or pray it away and hope that God comes down from heaven and fixes all of these problems when He has placed us here in the earth realm to do those things so that we can influence and impact our communities and other people see our lives and they want to come to our churches and they want to be a part of change and they want to make a difference and we continue to pay it forward. And that's what I think that we just need to continue to do. When we look at the life of Jesus, He trained and taught 12 people. And look at the thousands of people that He impacted in just His short ministry and the multiplication and the duplication of the effort that He did from 3.5 years is still going on today, over 25, probably close to 3,000 years later. So we have a great work to do, and God has given us the ability to do it because he said that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Get her done.
Get her done. All right, cousin, we love you. And for those of you who may have just joined us for the first time, we come and sit down at this table every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Brother Feast is on a different time zone. Sister Dia is on a different time zone. And we all are dedicated to just coming together at this particular time. One thing I will say, we will, as I mentioned last week, we are gearing up to kind of shift gears with the PRF table in a very positive way. A lot of what we talked about tonight, we talked about the topical things. We talked about what are some of the concerns and issues. And what God has directed me to do, the direction that he's given me to continue to take this show forward, over the next couple of weeks we're going to get started, definitely by the first show in June, is to really start dealing with some of the internal things. You know, we got to deal with the fear. We got to deal with the lack of trust. We got to deal with the hurt that people have. Why would somebody have this my mentality, don't want the pastor not to control or, excuse me, manage or be a steward over the finances? Because it's probably something that some other pastor has done. Maybe it was somebody else in the finance room. And maybe that thing has never been dealt with. So if it's never been dealt with, that person still has their mentality. And those are things that we just can't see. So when I mentioned Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20, but more especially verse 20, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So we are the fruit. We're connected to Christ, which is the tree or the branch. And God is the tree with the roots settling down with the Holy Spirit. We know all that, but some people don't think about it like that. So what we have to be really willing to do is really get down with people. As Brother Feaster said, we have to have courage enough to care. And if we're willing here on the PRF table, myself, Brother Feaster, Sister Adia, and all of you who are listening, we can take care and deal with a lot of things together. It doesn't matter that we're all in different time zones, because we're going to give everybody that opportunity to have the space to be able to come on and share what's going on and share their hurts and share their concerns, because at the end of the day, we're all not in the same congregation, but we're in the same body. So something that's affecting you as a and you as a member in your congregation is affecting the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we need to get it to a place where people feel really, really safe about bringing up their concerns and their issues to the church. It is not good enough that you will bring up your concerns to a friend outside of the church. It's not good enough that you bring it up to your mama and your daddy. It's not good enough that you bring it up to a psychiatrist or a therapist. We got to do like Acts chapter 4. When our two apostles was accosted by that Sanhedrin council and they came back and they got with the believers and they said, look, this is what happened. This is what they said to us. And they all got together and they prayed about it and they prayed for boldness to go back out and do the same thing that got them locked up in the first place. That's the type of environment that God is looking for. And I know there's a lot of places out there that are doing those things, that are doing the things that God wants them to do. So what I want us to be able to do is just, again, create that type of environment. We're not creating anything as a replacement for church, because there's enough churches already out there. But we're just going to handle business the way that it needs to be handled, Adia, and really deal with this transparency and being able to empower individuals and making sure that there's a level of accountability. Because, again, Matthew 7 and 20, that says to me a lot about credibility. If I look like rotten fruit, you're probably not going to want to pick from the same vine. So with that, Sister Dia, I'm out. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Everybody, go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Throw some comments out there. Let us continue with this conversation and this dialogue, and we will get back with you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless.